It's 30 minutes before 11, 30 seconds before 11 o'clock. I'll get it. Just give me until March, and I'll be right with you. I'm new to the business. It takes a little while. And my name's Tom Morgan. I'll be back Monday at 8 o'clock. Pete Tosi will be your host from midnight until 6 this morning on Music Radio 97 KOIN with music. We've got CBS News at the top of the hour and CBS Radio Mystery Theater coming up at 11:08. The plot is thusly. A man wants to divorce his wife for another woman, but murder makes it kind of sticky. It's called The Hanging Judgment. That's coming up at 11:08. Right now we have radio news from CBS at 11 o'clock. Have a good evening and drive careful on the weekend. And go Bears.
CBS News. New York State and city elected officials burned the midnight oil in an effort to settle big money problems. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. Both the city council and the state legislature concentrated on a $200 million program of tax increases for city residents. The plan designed to help win federal assistance and avoid city default. Late Friday night in Albany, the legislature called it quits, deciding to wait for the city council to pass resolutions asking for the tax hikes. The council continues to meet at this hour, 2 a.m. in New York, and it may be a couple more hours before it acts on the resolutions. About 2,000 people attended the Friday session of a Democratic Party gathering held in Louisville, Kentucky. It's called the National Democratic Issues Convention. Party Chairman Robert Strauss said the people are taking a dim view of public officials these days.
I know that the public has come to distrust and disrespect many of their elected officials. They're bitter. They're a bit bitter, and they think government helps others but not themselves. And in many respects, government as an institution deserves much of this contempt because government in many respects has failed. But what's the answer? Is it to turn our backs on the search for a fuller life because certain programs have failed? Because certain individuals in the process haven't measured up? I say to you tonight that people don't want less government, they want better government.
Democratic National Chairman Robert Strauss. More news in a moment.
The French call it an apéritif. In America, it's the appetizer you drink. Either way, Dubonnet goes before.
Before, that's the time to say I'll have a glass of Dubonnet. Before a meal by day or night, Dubonnet is always right before, yeah, before.
An aperitif or an appetizer. The proper time to enjoy its distinctive taste is before. Before lunch, before dinner at cocktail time, before whatever you've got cooking. It's a wine that's right for your appetite. Dubonnet before. Made to make what comes after that much better. Product of USA, Dubonnet Company, New York, New York.
Crew members of an Eastern Airlines jet flying from Florida to Washington said those strange objects they saw over Richmond, Virginia looked like missiles. Federal officials have not closed the matter yet, but the Pentagon thinks the pilots were wrong. Ike Pappas reports.
The Air Force says, to the best of its knowledge, what the Eastern pilots saw were not rockets, but rather the reflection of the sun off of four fighter planes that were in the area at the time. Officials at Langley Air Force Base, Virginia, who have been investigating the reported missile sighting, said they checked every possible source, including Air Force active and reserve units, the National Guard, and the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, and have determined that the only planes in the vicinity were four F-105s that belonged to the Virginia Air National Guard. The planes were beginning to descend for a landing at Byrd Field near Richmond, Virginia. An Air Force spokesman said that in all probability, what the Eastern pilots saw was the glint of the sun off of the glass canopies that cover the cockpits of the fighters. The investigation turned up no evidence of any missiles being fired from any military planes in the area. Ike Pappas, CBS News, the Pentagon.
Vice President Rockefeller has arrived in Madrid to represent the United States at the inauguration of Juan Carlos as King of Spain. That takes place later on Saturday. Rockefeller will also attend the funeral of Generalissimo Francisco Franco on Sunday. UN Secretary General Kurt Waldheim in a few hours begins an important mission in the Middle East. He'll arrive in Damascus and will also visit Cairo, Jerusalem, Amman, and Beirut. Waldheim's most important objective is to try to persuade Syria to go along with an extension of the UN peacekeeping force on the Golan Heights. The mandate of the UN force runs out at the end of this month. Now this.
You can have great taste, lots of great taste and taste with Ludens. They're medicated cough drops with great taste in every bite.
box, wild cherry, sweet and savory, menthol, cool and flavory, honey, the way you wish, with lemon or licorice. Oh, you can have great taste, lots of great taste and taste with Luden's.
Luden's, the medicated cough drops that don't taste medicated. They taste great. Use only as directed.
Lefty Drew, pro bowler. How do you spell relief?
When I have heartburn, I spell relief R-O-L-A-I-D-S, Rolaids.
Mrs. Peterson, homemaker.
Acid indigestion, I spell relief R-O-L-A-I-D-S.
Rolaids spells relief. Each Rolaids consumes 47 times its weight in excess stomach acid. Bubba Johnson, mechanic. How do you spell relief?
For gas, R-O-L-A-I-D-S.
Rolaids spells relief. Use only as directed.
A blizzard which paralyzed many sections of the plains and upper Midwest for 3 days has now started moving north into Canada. Some officials said it was the worst autumn storm in a decade. The heaviest snowfalls were 20 inches at one point in Nebraska and 18 inches in northern Wisconsin. Sub-zero temperatures added to the weather miseries in Montana. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
In Radio 97 News, Portland Police Chief Bruce Baker says handguns are only good for target practice and should be prohibited by the federal government. Baker admits such a ban would not stop criminals from having guns, but he says the ban would cut down on the number of accidents and suicides. Portland General Electric says it has received an operating license for the Trojan Nuclear Power Plant from the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. The license, which allows the utility to load fuel in the plant and to operate it at full power after standard testing procedures, was issued late yesterday afternoon. That was this afternoon. PGE says the loading of fuel will begin in a few days. The plant should be operating at about 10% of its capacity before the end of the year. Oregon is still growing, but a bit slower than it has in the past. That word from the director of the Oregon Center for Population Research and Census, James Weiss. He says Oregon's population is now estimated at 2,299,000. That's up 33,000 from 1974. But the rate of increase from 1974 to 75 was lower than the increase during the previous year, Weiss said, and much lower than the growth rate recorded between 1970 and 1971. Weiss says that that was the peak growth year in this decade, with more than 51,000 people moving into the state. Portland District Judge Otto Scopel Jr. has refused to go along with Bonneville Power Administration wishes to have its contract with Alumax Aluminum Corporation amended. The Power Administration wanted the contract amended so that a long-term impact statement was not needed before construction of the proposed plant in Umatilla could begin. Well, some of the semifinal high school games are over tonight, and boy, there was one barn burner between Sunset and North Eugene. Milwaukee, as we announced earlier, defeated Madison 34-6. The Sunset-North Eugene game went into three overtimes. The final score, Sunset 34, North Eugene 31. Pretty close. The weather forecast calls for generally fair weather tonight, increasing clouds Saturday and occasional rain Saturday night, mostly cloudy on Sunday, lows 35 to 40, highs near 50, and the chance of measurable rainfall is a minute 10% tonight, 20% Saturday, but up to 60% tomorrow night. That's Radio 97 News. It's 11:08.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Do you ever think of exactly what the word mystery means? Something beyond human comprehension is part of Webster's first definition. The supernatural, the gothic, witches, ghosts, and ghouls, of course. But the word has a wider meaning. It is also defined as an enigma, often used retrospectively of what has been, but is no longer. Unexplained. Or unrevealed. And this story is summed up in that statement, more or less exactly.
I thought, Doctor, you tried to tell this court that your wife was dead when you left her.
Well, yes. I'm not sure.
You are a doctor, aren't you, Dr. Grant?
Yes.
And yet you cannot tell us whether or not life was gone from the body of Barbara Grant?
Well, frankly... At the moment, I panicked so badly.
Oh, I'm sure you must have under the circumstances. After having been a party to your wife's murder, why wouldn't
yes,
you?
Yes, Your Honor.
Our mystery drama, The Hanging Judgment, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Mandel Kramer and Leon Janney. It is sponsored in part by Luden's Medicated Cough Drops and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
When you say that, you said a lot of things nobody else can say.
A lot of things, like Beechwood aging for 100% natural carbonation. That's how the Budweiser people age their beer. Nobody else does it that special way. But then, nobody else is brewing the king of beers. I could tell you a lot of other things about Budweiser and why it's the largest selling beer in the world. But it all comes back to the Budweiser taste, and that speaks for itself. Loud and clear. Hear it talking?
There is no one like us. There's only something left.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
First, the good news about the treatment of cancer. Through chemotherapy, which is the use of anti-cancer drugs to lessen pain and lengthen life for many, great progress has been made. Through chemotherapy, a child with leukemia, a woman with breast cancer, a senior citizen with a tumor, can bring a normal balance to their daily lives. Now, the bad news. More research is desperately needed to find newer, even more effective anti-cancer drugs and more programs to bring those treatments to everyone who needs help. You can be part of that research. You can be part of that help. Send a check today to the Chemotherapy Foundation. That's Chemo, C-H-E-M-O, Therapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 10028. That's the Chemotherapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 10028. This is Bess Meyerson with a public service message from the Chemotherapy Foundation.
Murder. Perhaps the greatest and most inexplicable mystery of all. How can one human being ever take the life of another? Bad enough in the heat of anger, but outrageous and sickening when it is in cold blood. Yet that particular riddle of the crime of murder is not the only one. We all know the others. How, where, when. And in so many cases, the most baffling, who. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I now present to you the problem of solving that. In the case of the state against Dr. Samuel Grant and Ms. Cheryl Stafford.
Not me. Get out of here. Who's that with you?
I said I'd bring Cheryl along.
You get that slut out of my house and off my property.
Put that gun away. Run, Cheryl. Run. Give me the gun, Barbara.
I'll give you what you deserve, you cheating, lying. No. I'm shot.
Hello, Lieutenant Kinsella.
Mr. District Attorney, I kind of expected to see you earlier at the scene of the crime, as we say.
Want to fill me in on this Grant case?
Let's go into my office. Looks like murder one.
How was she killed?
Shot, close range, probably 38.
Suspects?
Well, don't know. Could have been a prowler. The woman, Barbara Grant, was separated from her husband.
Has he been notified?
No, we haven't been able to reach him. A Swedish maid was waking by the shots and called us in. She thinks Dr. Grant might be out of town.
Whose maid, his or hers?
Her maid. The dead woman.
You said they're separated.
Check.
So how would she know about the doctor's comings and goings?
Sit down, Al. I got a hunch you don't have to be nervous over this one.
What do you mean?
Well, I looked over a couple of pictures of this Dr. Samuel Grant. Lover boy.
How do you figure?
Well, a chaser. Final breakup of the Grants was over a secretary he had, a babe named Cheryl Stafford.
Did you pick her up?
Yes, I'm waiting on that. Seems Mrs. Grant made enough noise so the doctor fired her and she moved back to her hometown, Las Vegas.
Hmm. And if Dr. Grant is out of town, that's where he might be?
Figures. We should know any moment. Like maybe right now. Yeah. What? Well, you don't say. Well, how about that? Now, hold it a minute. Guess who just walked into the station?
Not our prime suspect.
None other. The good Dr. Grant himself.
And I was out of town on special business when I heard the report on radio. So I flew back here to Los Angeles right away and came straight to the precinct house.
We appreciate that, Dr. Grant.
Well, you don't... Well, you can't think that I have anything to do with the murder of my wife.
I never even suggested that. You're bringing it up.
No matter what you might suspect, I couldn't have. I parked my car at the airport day before yesterday and flew to Las Vegas for a medical meeting. I didn't return till early this morning. I'm sure the airport parking lot employees can vouch for that.
It will be checked.
Well, now, may I ask what is being done about whatever Prowler or whoever he was who murdered my wife?
First off, we're checking on the bullet that killed her. Now, there was a gun beside her, a .32. It had been fired once.
But that couldn't have been what killed her, could it?
We'll have to wait for ballistics to decide that. In the meanwhile, now, just for the record, since you were virtually offered the information, at the time of the murder, which was between 6 and 8 p.m. on the night of August 29th, do I understand that you were out of town, to be more specific, in Las Vegas, Nevada?
Strictly off the record, I think I won't answer that question until I have found me a lawyer.
Jerry Carr, Justin and Associates.
I'd like to talk to Mr. Justin, please.
Oh, may I ask who's calling?
This is Dr. Samuel Grant.
Could you hold just a moment, Doctor? Let me check if Mr. Justin is in the office.
What is it, Sandy?
Oh, hot one. Dr. Samuel Grant, whose wife was just murdered.
And wants me to represent him, I presume?
He didn't say so, but why else would he call? Are you in or out?
What else can I be? He needs me.
Because he's guilty?
Now, who laid down that judgment?
Well, you read the papers, J.C., just like me. You know everything points against this guy being innocent.
Do I? And if it does, he still deserves the best legal defense he can find. That's basic lawyer's ethics.
Mm. If he gets you, he's got it. Does he have you?
Make an appointment for me to see him as soon as possible. Today, without fail.
Yes, sir, boss. But me, I don't think he deserves you. I'm Sandy Russell, Girl Friday to J. Carr Justin. I'm 25. I want a home, children, a happy marriage. But that's not what any girl could expect from Justin, especially not his Friday girl. Working for Justin is like 18 wild, exhilarating, exhausting hours every day. You either love him or hate him. No in between. He's tough, tenacious. And in his own way, tender, compassionate. Oh, he has to be. Because day in, day out, people put their lives in his hands. Guilty or innocent, he's their last best defense.
So, Dr. Grant, you told the police that at the time of your wife's death, you were in Las Vegas.
The attendant at the parking lot.
Were you in Las Vegas?
I had a speaking engagement.
Where did you stay?
Stay?
You spent overnight there. What hotel?
Oh, it's silly. I don't recall. Some motel, it should be.
How did you get to the motel?
Well, how does anyone get to a motel?
By car. Only yours was parked in the Los Angeles airport, remember?
Well, I could have gone by cab or rented a car.
Sure, but if you went by cab, the motel would remember. If you managed to remember the name of it.
And if you rented a car, it'd be a simple matter to check.
Whose side are you on, mine or the police?
If I represent you, yours. I'm just giving you a little taste of the kind of questioning that you're going to have to face up to, either from the police or prosecuting attorney.
I see now it wouldn't hold up.
That's better. Now, what is true, Doctor?
I was there when my wife was shot.
Did you shoot her?
No.
Who did?
I don't know.
Were you alone when it happened?
No. There was someone with me.
Who?
My ex-secretary, Cheryl Stafford. The medical meeting was only an excuse to fly to Vegas and see her.
You're in love with her?
We intend to be married. But my wife wouldn't give me a divorce.
Mm-hmm. How much of this have you told the police?
None of it. I used the alibi. I mean, about my car.
That's childish. Why?
Well, I was afraid of how it would look. Barbara, that's my wife, and I have been having trouble. I didn't want to sue for divorce in California because it might disturb a loan I was negotiating. And there's the problem also of community property. But in spite of that, she had started suit. That's why I was there the night before last with Cheryl to ask her to be reasonable and not ruin all of us.
If you didn't shoot her, Doctor, who did? Miss Stafford?
Good Lord, no. I want you to represent Cheryl. Both of us. We're innocent.
Can Miss Stafford testify to the fact that you are?
You can ask her yourself. She's waiting in the car downstairs. But you don't have to. Or for me to testify for her.
Why not?
Because there were two shots. One, my wife fired at me. The other came from another gun and hit her in the back. I swear to you, I'm innocent.
Doctor, how much did you say to the police?
Nothing beyond claiming the alibi.
All right. If you want me to, I'll represent you. But I must warn you, Doctor, that if it goes to trial, I'll be expensive.
How much is expensive?
Well, if you're not indicted, nothing. If it goes to trial, my expenses and $50,000.
You're right. You're not cheap.
Neither is life, Doctor. Like you, I hope I'm an expert at preserving it.
J. Carr, Justin and Associates.
Just J. Carr will do, honey. You can tell him it's District Attorney Herman on the wire.
Yes, sir, Mr. Herman. Just one moment.
Give.
Al Herman on the line. He sounds particularly smug today.
Always a bad sign. Put him on.
Mr. Justin will talk to you now, Mr. Herman.
Thank you. Hello?
Al?
Oh, I just thought you'd like to know the grand jury handed down indictments against your clients, Dr. Grant and Ms. Stafford. I'm just having warrants issued against them both for first-degree murder and conspiracy to commit murder.
Now, you know that's going to be a waste of time, Al.
You don't say.
I just did. Ballistics showed that Mrs. Grant was killed with a bullet from a gun other than the one on the scene of the crime. That gun has disappeared, Al. Without it, you have no case.
You wouldn't want to bet on that, would you?
I'm not a betting man.
It's just as well. I've got a nice little surprise to spring on you just for once. See you in court.
Al?
What's he got, J.C.?
Such me. I'm more worried about what I may have got.
What?
Like they say, a bull by the tail.
So, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the crime is laid out, and you have met all the principal characters, some of them very briefly. Motive is established. Opportunity, in a sense, and a wavering finger points at Dr. Grant and his inamorata, Cheryl Stafford. Or both. Or, since the vital link is missing, the weapon, perhaps to someone else, as yet unidentified. I shall return shortly with Act Two.
Isn't it nice to know you're free? To see the things you want to see. To touch the heart you dare to reach. To know you're all that you can be.
According to EPA...
results. A 1976 Buick Electra, equipped with automatic transmission and available 350 V8, delivered 14 miles per gallon in the city test and 18 in the highway test. Of course, these are only estimates. The mileage you get may vary. But what it all boils down to is this. Now, Electra isn't just a luxury car. It's a practical luxury car. In California, see your Buick dealer for EPA figures.
To survive in the wilderness. You need the savvy to find water where it hasn't rained, food where you can't see any, and your way home where the stars are your only road map. You also need the skill to turn ropes into bridges, ponchos into rafts, and personnel carriers on a dime. Infantry in today's Army isn't easy, but then hardly anything worthwhile is.
Join the people who join the Army. You could start building your tomorrow today.
Join the people who join the Army.
The awful suspense of a murder trial has begun. The wheels once set in motion cannot be halted until a jury renders a verdict. A woman is dead, her life snuffed out by unnatural causes. The whole organization of society demands that an explanation or some vindication of her ceasing to live must be forthcoming. Judge Ellen B. Prince presiding. The trial has begun and is in progress. The district attorney is questioning Lieutenant Kinsella on the stand.
Lieutenant, may we return to your description of the crime? Or rather, I should say, what your investigation that night of the 29th of August and subsequent follow-up investigations revealed.
Yes, sir. In response to a phone call from a Miss Trenum at 3349 Ventura Boulevard, West Covington, Central sent out a code 11. Sergeant Barasini and his partner, Patrolman Kaufman, were first on the scene. Responding to a general bulletin on murder one, I arrived there myself early in the morning of the 30th, about 4 a.m.
And what did you discover, Lieutenant?
A body of a woman, identified as Mrs. Barbara Grant, was lying before the garage door, a revolver lying near her right hand.
Had this revolver been fired?
Yes, sir.
Once. And did the bullet discharged result in the death of Mrs. Barbara Grant?
No, sir.
What was the cause of death?
As a result of a ballistics check subsequently, a slug from a .38 revolver, almost certainly a police positive.
Was this gun found at the scene of the crime?
No, sir.
Has it been found anywhere else since?
No, sir.
Is it not true, Lieutenant Kinsella, that at your request, the Police Department of Records and Licenses substantiated the fact that 2 years ago, a permit was issued to a Dr. Samuel Grant? He was entitled to carry a gun?
That is correct, sir.
Just one more question, Lieutenant. The type of slug which killed Mrs. Barbara Grant did come from a police positive .38?
Oh, absolutely.
And it could have come from this particular weapon? Now, you don't have to answer that. The question was really unnecessary. Your witness, Counselor.
Well, let's complete that question, Lieutenant Kinsella. Could the slug have come from this particular weapon?
What weapon is that, Mr.
James? Ah, but that's just the point, isn't it, Lieutenant? This particular weapon is only a theoretical one, isn't it?
Well, I'm not sure I know how to answer that question.
Well, I have no tricks, Lieutenant. I have nothing up my sleeve. I'm merely trying to establish that this phantom gun is not established. It exists at the moment only as a speculation, an inference drawn from a bullet that caused the death of Mrs. Grant. Is that not correct, Lieutenant?
Yes, sir. It's correct as far as it goes.
Substantially, what you have in mind, Lieutenant, is that the death bullet could have been fired from exactly the sort of gun that the defendant, Dr. Samuel Grant, was licensed to own and carry.
That is just what I meant.
Well, we can go into that a little later. A couple of more questions, if you will, Lieutenant.
Yes, sir.
Now, the gun that was found by Mrs. Grant had been fired. Is that correct?
Yes, once.
What caliber was that?
32, sir.
Was that bullet found?
Yes, sir, in the back wall of the garage.
And the bullet from her 32 was fired in the direction of Dr. Grant, who was inside the garage at the time?
Yes, sir, yes, sir.
But there were definitely two shots.
Well, of course, sir. There was one right after another. The maid in the house heard them.
Where was Mrs. Grant shot? In what part of her body?
She was shot in the back.
In the back. Thank you very much, Lieutenant. That's really all I need.
That's what Justin does that is so great. He meanders around, gets everyone cooled off and relaxed, and then whams home a zinger that makes the jury sit up. And that stays planted in their minds. It's like a baseball game. A trial. Inning after inning. Each side striking out or scoring. Like Justin just did.
Doctor, I asked you to describe the events of the night of the 29th leading up to the death of your wife.
All right, to the best of my ability. My wife, against an agreement I thought we had taken action to sue me for divorce. I called her from Las Vegas and asked her to reconsider, and we had made a date to meet that evening.
In your own words, could you tell us what happened when you arrived?
I can try. Cheryl, Miss Stafford and I had driven there in her car. We parked at the downhill parking lot and walked up the two blocks to Barbara's house.
Why didn't you just drive up and park in the drive?
Well, that's difficult to explain. The house is perched on the side of a hill. A cliff, really. The driveway is difficult to maneuver. So I built this parking space on our property just below. Unless you were planning to drive into the garage itself, we usually left our cars there.
Your own car? Your own house?
My wife and I were separated. Pending a divorce agreement, it was her house.
You considered it then?
I was willing to grant her that privilege.
After you and Miss Stafford had walked up to the garage, what did you find?
Well, there was no one home. I had still had my keys, and I had just let Miss Stafford and myself in when my wife drove up. We'd come in the back door, and it was just at dusk, so I didn't bother to put on any lights. Cheryl and I just went through the inner door to the garage about the same time as Barbara opened the garage sliding door. It's me, Barbara. Sam.
What are you doing here? You don't belong here anymore.
Now, you know we made a date tonight to talk over the divorce.
You did, not me. Who's that with you?
I said I'd bring Cheryl along.
You get that slut out of my house and off my property.
Barbara, put that gun away. Run, Cheryl, run! Give me the gun, Barbara.
I'll give you what you deserve, you cheating, lying...
No, you're wrong. Are you crazy?
No.
I ducked down behind the lawn tractor and the garden tools. Even with the headlights on, I couldn't see anything. All I knew was there was a second shot and that Barbara had been hit. I went to her right away.
Was the gun still in your hand?
What gun?
Someone shot your wife. If it wasn't you, are you suggesting it was Miss Stafford?
No. I didn't even know where Miss Stafford was at the time.
I see. So you went to your wife and...
What happened, Barbara? Are you all right?
And did she reply?
Yes, she said, I love you. I should have listened to you. Take care of the children.
Your son and daughter?
Yes.
Who were not home at this time?
No, they were away at school.
There was no one in the house?
Yes, a maid, Miss Trenholm. I could hear her moving, and I imagined calling the police.
And then what happened?
I panicked.
I'm sure you did. What did you do in your panic?
I ran down the hill to the parking lot.
Where you found Miss Stafford waiting for you?
Yes.
With the gun?
What gun?
The gun that shot your wife.
Cheryl had no gun.
Then you had it. What did you do with it?
Objection, Your Honor. The district attorney is obviously trying to put words into the mouth of the defendant.
Not quite, Mr. Justin. But I do feel, Mr. Herman, you have not established the existence of the gun up to this point.
Well, may I say it doesn't matter, Your Honor. The bullet that lodged in Mrs. Grant's heart has established that such a gun existed. Your witness, Mr. Justin.
Mr. Grant. I beg your pardon, Dr. Grant. Can I take you back for a moment to the night of May the 14th? Would you be good enough to tell the court what took place at your home on Ventura Boulevard?
Both my wife and myself were away. It was Miss Trenum, the maid's night out. We were robbed.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have here a certified list from the insurance company of all the things that were taken. The stereo equipment, TV sets, jewelry, etc. Among those items is one very relevant one. Was a .38 caliber police-positive revolver also removed?
Yes, sir.
And did you immediately, in the course of the insurance investigation, notify the police of that fact?
I did.
And did you subsequently seek a license for a new gun of any sort?
Not for myself. By that time, I was in the course of separating from my wife. Since she was afraid of being in the house alone, I arranged to get one for her and have it licensed. The .32, which is an exhibit here, and with which she fired the bullet at me.
And you have no knowledge who might have fired the bullet that killed your wife?
No, sir.
Could it have been Miss Stafford?
Why would you suggest that?
Your wife was shot in the back. You were facing her, were you not?
Yes, but... Good Lord, Cheryl was scared to death of firearms. She didn't know anything about guns. She's the last person who could have been responsible for my wife's death.
I have no further questions. Thank you, Doctor.
But there were. The DA went after Dr. Grant on redirect, tooth and nail. And worse than that. Oh, I've been around court long enough to know that when Cheryl Stafford got on the stand, she was in for hell. Most of all, I couldn't understand J.C. He worked for a man long enough, loving too much, like me. And you know too much about him not to know he wasn't putting out his best effort here. I called him on it.
Alexandra, don't ask questions. That's my business.
I get the put down. Anytime you call me Alexandra. Oh, but I can't let it go, J.C.
All right. Now, look, we're skating on a lot of thin ice. And I am supposed to be advocate, not judge. Now, why don't you just leave me be and let what is to be to take its natural course?
Okay. If you think your clients are guilty, do you?
I have a basic rule to try and consider my clients innocent.
Oh, but the way things are going, you're going to lose.
Well, that's a very absolute term.
It's the way it's going. Like, well, if things go now, one of them killed Mrs. Grant. Well, and since she was shot in the back, it's Cheryl Stafford. But it's still collusion, and both of them are guilty.
That's the way it may look, my love. But not enough hard facts to pin it down. That should worry Al Herman. But you notice that it doesn't. He still has something big to hit us with in this case. So, let's go grab some dinner and some personal life.
Oh, I don't know. Sometimes I wonder about you. Whether you care.
About winning?
No. About how you win. And if it's right that you do.
Sandy, you have to make your own judgments on that, like anyone else. Everything in its time. Let's wait until all the cards are in.
As J. Carr Justin knows from experience, there is no drama more tense, more uncertain in its outcome than the arena of the courtroom. And no theater in which the incredible surprise, the shocking factor that follows no law of dramaturgy, simply pops up to turn upside down all the facts which have gone before. So, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, it will be with some startling new evidence that I return with Act Three.
Designline phones from the Bell System make beautiful gifts.
If you want to give something to someone you love, it's gotta be a special thing. So give someone a ring.
Someone a ring.
Give someone a ring.
Give someone a ring. Give someone a ring. It's a better ring.
dozen design line phones to choose from. So no matter who you've got in mind, there's bound to be one that's just right. For complete details and prices, call your local business office.
Give someone a ring. Give someone a ring. It's a very, very, very special thing.
The design line phone housing is owned by the person you give it to. The working parts remain ours.
From your family image and from your lungs. And remember, your kids may never start if you stop. Quitting is tough, but your lung association says it's a matter of life and death.
Everyone in the trial, of course, was waiting for the appearance of the femme fatale, the other woman, Cheryl Stafford. But before her appearance, the surprise witness suddenly appeared on the chair, a witness guilelessly introduced by Cheryl's brother, who was testifying as a character reference for his sister. A witness named William Aloysius Brody.
Not often J. Carr Justin is blindsided, but this time he was. And the D.A. had set his trap well. William Brody was a complete surprise to us and to the jury. Just listen to the unflappable muscle man on the stand in the midst of the story he had to tell.
Mr. Brody, you actually discussed murder with Cheryl Stafford?
You called it, ma'am.
And she named the victim?
Yeah. Miss Grant, dame.
Well, I must admit that I'm caught a little out of my depth here, but would you describe in your own words just what you mean?
Well, it's no big deal. Like I say, I'm at this party, and a kid I know named Stafford gives me the big intro to his sister here. Her. So who's going to back off? She's a real good-looking dame, and one thing leads to another, and I get an invite to come up to her apartment like the next night.
Did you go?
Why not? What kind of guy pass it up?
Please continue your story.
Well, I rigged myself out in some fancy threads, figuring this is a score, and I ain't got no reason to change my mind when she opens the door. I mean, she's, like you say, undressed for action. And the welcome sign is out. It's a big hello, a big drink, and this kid is...
I think the picture is graphic enough. Suppose you just tell us simply and directly what happened.
Can I get you some more to drink?
No, babe. I'm coasting easy now. Your kid brother told me you want a favor.
That's right.
Try me. I'd live it.
Supposing I was to tell you I want someone... I want someone out of the way.
Out of the way? You mean total? Wiped out?
I mean killed. Dead.
Okay. You don't have to draw pictures, just name numbers. How much?
Say, $2,000.
Oh, you gotta be kidding. I wouldn't touch it for under a five.
I don't think I could raise that much.
Who's a pigeon, anyway?
Well, if I tell you, can we make a deal? $3,000 is my top figure. It's all I've got. All I can get.
Yeah. So we got a deal. Give me a name.
Her name is Grant. Barbara Grant. She's married to my ex-boss. But it wouldn't be hard. We're separated and she lives alone.
So, lay the bread on me. $2,000 advance. Third on delivery.
You actually contracted to kill Mrs. Grant?
Are you kidding? This was all con as far as I was concerned.
Did she pay the money?
I took the money and blew. I was only doing her kid brother a favor.
But you took money and promised a killing.
Look, Cheryl Stafford says to me, Mrs. Grant has given us a bad time, causing us a lot of grief. Now, if you don't take care of her, Sam will have to do it himself. So I wanted to make her feel better.
And when the date came, you were supposed to deliver. What happened when nothing happened?
I gave it the wide-eyed act. I said I took her out with a shotgun in the chest and I hid her behind the convent.
And what was her reaction?
Well, I never saw her so happy. Then she calls us Dr. Grant and he levels with her. His wife is still alive and kicking.
What was Miss Stafford's reaction?
She said, you must have shot somebody else.
And you said?
Maybe I goofed. If I made the wrong hit, I'll go back and do it again. But I need more money.
And Miss Stafford said?
There isn't any more money. This time, we'll handle it by ourselves.
Thank you, Mr. Brody. No more questions. Your witness, Counselor.
Oh, no, Mr. Herman. Not mine. You turned over your own rock to produce this specimen.
You know better than to make a remark like that, Counselor.
My mind does, Your Honor. My throat just threw it up involuntarily.
Are you courting a mistrial by exhibiting prejudice towards a witness?
My apologies to the court.
Do you intend to cross-examine?
I think not, Your Honor. I would prefer to wait for Miss Stafford's side of the story. Perhaps just one or two questions.
The witness is yours.
Would you repeat your name, please?
Brody. William Brody.
William Aloysius Brody?
Yeah. But like, man, I dropped the middle go-around in high school.
You also dropped your other names?
What other names?
Well, don't be alarmed. If you have any aliases, I don't know about them. I just mean the various public nicknames that people have hung on you, such as Dream Man and the Treasure Chest.
Cool it, will you? Cool it, man. Everybody has his own bag. I like to build up the body, right? Anything wrong in that?
To each his own. By the way, what did you say that you do for a living, Mr. Brody?
I did.
Would you now?
This and that, you know, man, I hang loose. No big deal.
Oh, I think you're much too modest, Mr. Brody. I have here a list. Dance hall bouncer, shill, candy butcher, beach boy. But I don't mean all of these. I mean your real profession, since gigolo and ladies' man are a little out of style. What shall we call you, a professional stud?
Objection, Your Honor. Objection.
Sustained. Strike that last sentence from the record. Mr. Justin, I am tempted to fine you in contempt of court. You know you cannot discredit a witness without objective proof.
Your Honor, respectfully, it is my contention that the witness has already discredited himself. And when I bring Miss Stafford to the stand, he will be even further discredited.
So at last it was the defense's turn. And finally, Cheryl Stafford was on the stand. Small and slight. Very pretty in a quiet way. Somehow defenseless. To try to puncture the obvious effect she had on the audience and jury, the DA tore into her mercilessly.
And you were not ashamed to face the woman whose husband you had stolen?
No. Sam, Dr. Grant had already left his wife before I... Before we fell in love.
Why didn't you drive straight up to the house?
Well, Sam explained that.
You didn't use that way to approach the house with the object of surprising Mrs. Grant?
Well, why should we? She was expecting us.
To discuss divorce?
Yes.
Then will you tell me why it was necessary for Dr. Grant to take his bag up to the house with him? He wasn't making a house call, was he?
No, but...
Well, now, were you aware that that bag contained, along with the expected items you might think of, a hank of rope, rubber gloves, a butcher's knife, and a box of cartridges. Perhaps even a gun, which was missing, of course, by the time the police found the bag abandoned in the garage. Wouldn't you say that was less a doctor's bag than a murder kit?
Objection, Your Honor.
I withdraw the question. Now, let's skip to the moment Mrs. Grant arrives and takes out a gun and fires at her husband. What did you do?
I ran. Just as hard as I could, the way Sam told me to.
And did you stop to see what was happening before and at the moment the fatal shot was fired? Did Dr. Grant run and duck? Could someone else have approached and fired the shot into Mrs. Grant's back?
I don't know. I don't know.
You admit the possibility, can't you? Perhaps even a probability that it could have been you who returned and fired that fatal shot to protect your lover and to carry out the scheme you were both agreed upon before you went there that evening of the 29th. To kill the only thing that stood in the way of your happiness and your future, since you couldn't hire someone successfully to kill her, didn't you and Dr. Grant, by one means or another, carry out her death sentence yourself?
The coil of rope was only some leftover line that Dr. Grant had used to secure a bumper on his boat.
Yes.
And the so-called butcher knife was a simple kitchen all-purpose knife which Dr. Grant had bought because you needed it to cut bread and prepare salads and so on.
Yes, it wasn't even that big.
Couldn't be less important. And the rubber gloves, I think, of course, are self-explanatory. Just one question. Why did he lug that bag up the hill?
Because when he talked to his wife, she said she was having her migraine headaches again. He thought he might have something to relieve them.
All right, let's move to another field for a moment. You've heard the testimony of William Brody.
I have.
Was he telling the truth?
Mr. Brody is a liar. If you want the real truth of what happened in our interview, here it is.
Well, here I am, babe. Let's break out the booze and get the party going.
This is no party, Mr. Brody. You were recommended to me by my brother.
Count on me. I deliver.
I'm embarrassed about this. I don't quite know how to say it.
Hey, don't run a fever. I'll lay it out. You want a dame compromised enough to make a case for her husband to sue for divorce, huh?
I'm ashamed to say you're right.
That could run into real dough, you know. Who's the dame?
Her name is Grant. She lives alone.
It's going to run five big ones.
5,000?
Hmm?
Well, I haven't got that much. 3,000 is the best, the most I could raise.
No, okay, if that's what the traffic will bear, you got a deal.
You paid him?
Yes. But he just took the money without...
Delivering. You hated what you felt you had to do, didn't you?
Oh, yes.
Then how could you have done it? Attempt to compromise a woman as decent and vulnerable as you are.
Because Barbara Grant wasn't like that at all. She was cold and hard and calculating. She didn't want Sam for herself. She was just determined that no other woman should have him. She hadn't allowed him to touch her in over 2 years. She wasn't a woman, just a machine. And if that was the only way Sam could get his freedom, I was willing to take it. Because he's the gentlest, kindest man in the world. I love him.
One more question. Did you shoot Barbara Grant?
Mr. Justin, I wouldn't even know how to fire a gun.
Thank you, Miss Stafford. The defense rests.
The jury's been out 3 hours, J.C. What do you think?
Mostly at a time like this, I try not to.
Oh, I wish I could make my mind a blank.
Why?
Because I love you, and I don't know why you took this case. Now, don't give me the lawyer's ethics line again. Everyone is entitled to a defense. You know he's guilty as hell.
Do I?
Yes.
And how do I feel about her?
Well, that's not so easy to...
Excuse me? Yeah. Coming out? Okay, we'll be right there.
The jury has a verdict?
Yep.
What do you think it'll be?
All right, ladies and gentlemen of the radio jury. What was your verdict? Was the stolen gun just a cover for Dr. Grant to have a weapon to kill his wife? Did they struggle so that she was shot in the back? Did Cheryl fire the fatal shot? Or did the incredible Mr. Brody decide to earn his money by coincidence that evening? It's your decision. Who killed Barbara Grant? I might add that this was an actual case. Only the names and some locations changed. So you were guessing at an actual result.
A hung jury? Oh, then you lost.
Well, that depends on the point of view. Now, he conned me into representing both of them. I had to fight for Dr. Grant as hard as I could to save a trusting, a stupid little girl who gave her love not wisely, but too well.
Oh, but in saving her, you got him off.
No. They'll be tried again. This time separately. And this time I will represent only one, Miss Stafford. Without her as a shield, he'll be convicted. She won't get out of it clean. We all have to pay for mistakes. But at least she won't have to share the death chamber with him.
Months later, Dr. Grant broke on the stand and admitted that he had taken advantage of the robbery at his house to pretend the gun was one of the articles stolen. He had had it with him in the murder kit bag, and in struggling with his wife, as she had turned to flee, he had deliberately shot and killed her. He got life imprisonment. Cheryl was convicted as an unwitting accessory after the fact. She was sentenced to a 2-year term, but released on probation. On the basis of the facts, would your verdict have been the same? I'll be back shortly.
You can have great taste, lots of great taste and taste with Luvians. They're medicated cough drops with great taste in every box. Wild cherry, sweet and savory, menthol, cool and flavory. Honey, the way you wish, with lemon or licorice. Oh, you can have great taste, lots of great taste and taste with Luvians.
The medicated cough drops that don't taste medicated, they taste great. Use only as directed.
This is Anita Bryant. Performing is a very exciting part of my life, and I also love coming home to a caring husband and 4 active, growing children. I count being a wife and mother as one of my most challenging opportunities. I'm glad to be a wife, and I feel good being a mother.
You are a worthwhile person. Cultivate your God-given talents as you choose your lifestyle. This affirmation of women shared by the Mennonite churches.
How does a nice young woman like that get mixed up with a man like Dr. Samuel Grant? One of the oldest questions in the world, which people have been trying to answer since time began. A few of them. Love is blind. 'Twere more than woman to be wise. Or, perhaps, to wind things up, a quote from Mr. Thackeray. Every single woman I ever knew is a puzzle to me, as I have no doubt she is to herself. With no apologies to women's lib, it's the way of the world. Our cast included Mandel Kramer, Leon Janney, Ken Harvey, E.V. Juster, Joan Shea, and Earl Hammond. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
What is it?
I don't know. A funny, dead smell. Oh, we must get this house open and let some air in.
And what?
I thought it was oppression at first, but... strange reaction. Heavy, listless. No, what's the word? I know. Something I've never totally felt in my life. Even at my parents' funerals. Sad. Just unbearably, inescapably sad.
Oh, Lord, help us. I knew as soon as I saw the door open... And the moment we got inside, she's back again. You let her back in.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Follows CBS News at midnight on KOIN Portland.
CBS News. New York City's city council members still are debating a new $205 million tax package structured by the state legislature to solve the city's pressing financial problems. Good morning. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. State legislators, after working until almost midnight, tabled further action on the New York City tax matter until a resolution could be received from city lawmakers requesting the new levies. Thus, the political responsibility would be shared between state and local elected officials. There's some question of whether enough state legislators will be in Albany tomorrow to provide a quorum with which to take final action if, as is expected, New York City Council sends the controversial request to Albany. Council members, apparently miffed because they feel the matter is being rammed down their throats, as well as by the late-night session that ran into early morning, still are arguing the matter. It's expected they'll be at it for another hour. Governor Hugh Carey and Mayor Abraham Beam believe the new taxes are the final local initiatives President Ford requires before changing his position to okay federal guarantees of New York State bonds. CBS News continues following this message.
I want that sinus medicine.
A headache tablet?
No. The sinus medicine that relieves headache and congestion, internal sinus pressure, and post-nasal drip.
You mean sign-off.
Exactly.
Compare sign-off to any other sinus tablet. You'll find no sinus tablet you can buy relieves more symptoms. When you take sign-off tablets, you get a full dose of pure aspirin plus a powerful sinus drainer to help sinus pain while you drain. And for the fastest known form of sinus congestion relief, there's Sign-Off Sinus Spray. S-I-N-E-O-F-F. Sign-Off. Take when needed, only as directed. Always insist on Sign-Off.
The sinus medicine that relieves headache and congestion, internal sinus pressure, and post-nasal drip.
You mean Sign-Off tablets.
Exactly. Sign-Off, the sinus medicines in the bright red box. S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
A third world ambassador who declines to be identified says he has it on good authority that U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. Daniel Moynihan was on the verge of resigning yesterday, but was dissuaded. The White House issued a statement saying President Ford fully approves of what the ambassador is doing at the United Nations. But that apparently doesn't end it, as we hear from CBS News U.N. correspondent Richard C. Hotellet.
Moynihan's resignation is in the air. He says he has not tendered it, and he does not say that he will resign, but quite clearly, something has happened between him and Washington. He himself says only that he doesn't fully understand what is going on down there, and he is going down to find out. He expects to see President Ford at the White House on Monday, and presumably Secretary Kissinger as well. Moynihan came to the UN not as a professional diplomat, but as a public figure in the mold of Adlai Stevenson, speaking out with his own passion and eloquence on highly charged issues like the anti-Zionism vote and Idi Amin. Many of his diplomatic colleagues do not like this style. The British ambassador spoke of the Wyatt Earp approach, with Moynihan's aim occasionally poor. They think he does too much diplomatic damage by preaching rather than persuading. Moynihan accepts blows from hostile countries with equanimity, but he is clearly hurt and annoyed by tart criticism from friendly governments and has reason to feel that Washington also has reservations about his style. This may be what he wants to find out from President Ford on Monday. Richard C. Hotellet, CBS News, United Nations.
Florida's former Republican Senator Edward Gurney will be retried on two federal charges. Last summer, a federal jury in Tampa found Gurney innocent of 5 of the 7 counts on which he was indicted. The jury deadlocked on 2 remaining counts, trying to set up a political slush fund and lying to a grand jury. The retrial, according to Gurney, is an enormous miscarriage of justice.
The government has taken 3.5 months to reach a decision to retry, indicating that they want it, in their words, quote, to be precise and to do, quote, their thing as they saw it. The fact of the matter is that the government has never ordered a transcript of the record of this trial, so I don't see how any fair decision can be made without a searching review of the testimony and the evidence. There's no way. They talk about doing their thing. It's easy to understand what they're talking about. What they want to do is, let's get Gurney. It doesn't matter how, when, or by what method.
Gurney says the government is trying to destroy him. Now this.
Greetings, food lovers. Steady Bracken here with that great guy about the gelatin mold, Mike Roy. And he's going to mold up something on the cook thing tomorrow over the CBS radio net, aren't you, huh?
That's right. I always picture the French chef standing by and he's done a masterpiece and he says, voila!
Yes, voila.
And I wish I knew it.
For what?
But tomorrow we're going to make a cranberry fruit mold and the world can stand by and say, voila!
Oh, tune in tomorrow. Super Chef, voila! On the cook thing all over the CBS radio net.
Larry T. has just been released from prison. He wants to be given a new chance, but he needs our help.
The God we worship expects us to work with Larry T. or anyone else who needs our time, our understanding. During our country's 200th birthday, join with others at your local church or synagogue and make plans and sacrifices to help relieve suffering. Welcome God to America's bicentennial. Practice what you pray. A message from Religion and American Life, the Ad Council, and the station.
An estimated 200,000 Spaniards are reported in line waiting to pay their last respects to Generalissimo Franco today. Meanwhile, today there also will be the swearing-in of Spain's new king. Mike Stanley, CBS News.
Next news on KOIN at 12:30.
KOIN!